Hello, my fellow ferals, and welcome back. This is episode 6 of Reloading with Brittany Scoville. I am your host, Brittany Scoville, and today we have Abby Graves Productions, and she's the one that got me started with podcasting. So, Abby, introduce yourself.
Hi. Yes, I am a podcast producer, and I'm working with Brittany now, which I'm so excited about. I never in a million years thought this would happen.
Me neither. And you're from Minnesota.
Yeah. So I originally am from Long Prairie, Minnesota. And when I say that, people usually look at me and go, huh? Because it's a pretty small town. If you know where St. Cloud, Minnesota is, it's about an hour north of there.
Gotcha. Yep. And so she came down here. We're in Des Moines right now. And she's house sitting for a friend. And we were up in the area and we were like, let's just knock out a whole bunch of episodes. So that's probably why you see the same setting, same clothes, all that. I'm like, we can't not leave here without doing an episode with Abby. That would be so much fun.
I'm so glad you want to.
Like, yes.
I have a lot of college debt that makes me really good at talking to people. So, as an ex-radio DJ, so.
Okay. So, how did you first meet me, hear of me, see me?
I am also an avid lover of the outdoors, hunting, fishing, just being a feral child in the woods.
Amen.
So I think you just naturally showed up on my For You page when I got on TikTok during the pandemic. And yeah, I followed you. I'm like, this girl knows what's up. Like, she knows how to have fun. That's obvious. And she obviously is good at what she does and great voice for women in the outdoors, which is so desperately needed.
It is.
And then when you started your My Own Worth page, I'm like, oh, what a perfect compliment to everything that you're doing.
Yes.
And I just thought Thank you were great.
Thank you. Yeah, pandemic time, that was really when it took off for me in social media. It was fun. It's still fun. Here we are doing a podcast. This is fun.
Yeah, it's really great. So yeah, I got into podcasting about a year ago for myself, and it's led into helping other people with their podcasts. And just with everything that you do on social media, I thought, why doesn't this girl have a podcast? She needs one.
Right. When she emailed me, she also looped in my management. So I thought it was something that my management found for me. But then to learn that Abby just looped them in, just, you know, just in case I didn't see it, that made, like, her saying, hey, I followed you on social media, I think you'd be really good at podcasting, that made me feel so special. I'm like, this isn't just my management, you know, saying to all these influencers that they manage that here's a podcast opportunity. No, Abby wanted me. I loved that.
I did. I made a list at, it was like early December, because I knew I wanted to go full time with my podcast production business in 2024 at some point, and we're getting there. But I made a list of like 10 people. I'm like, okay, I'm going to reach out to these people. Who knows if they'll get back to me or not, but the answer is only going to be no if you don't try.
Exactly.
So I'm like, I'm going to find an email for Brittany, and I did, and it worked.
So who else did you reach out to, and did they get back to you?
So I love trash TV, and I reached out to the Golden Bachelor.
Did you?
Yes.
Okay.
Gary and Teresa. So I, okay. I did hear back from Teresa, and she's like, well, we actually might want to start a podcast. We just don't know if we're ready for that right now. We're out on a PR tour.
That's what Abby's for. That is literally what Abby is for.
Yeah. So they're still kind of thinking about it. A lot of Bachelor contestants, if I'm being honest.
Really?
I freaking love The Bachelor.
that would be so entertaining to watch.
Yeah.
I don't watch The Bachelor, but I know I hear bits and pieces of it.
Oh, it is trash TV to its core, and I love it.
Who is the two women on social media right now that's on The Bachelor that there's a woman that nobody likes, and then one that, what are their, Maria maybe?
Maria is from Canada, and she was the drama of the season.
Is she the blonde one?
She's the dark-haired one.
Dark-haired one.
The blonde one is actually from Becker, Minnesota. Her name is Daisy, and her preschool teacher is my golf teammate.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, you played golf?
Yeah, I'm a golfer.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so I've been a golfer since I was 7, and I, shout out to our golf team, we won the league this year. Go Partinis. Yeah.
Partinis.
But yeah, so our golf team member is Daisy, the blonde one's preschool teacher. So we have been like going to her watch party in her hometown, and her parents were there. And
oh, that is so cool.
Yeah.
So I used to play golf.
Oh, no way.
So I was the number one person on their JV team.
girl.
I was the only one on the JV team. I usually leave out the last part, but if I just stick with the JV number one, that's me. I've never finished, like, what is it? How many holes do you usually do in a...
For JV, you only do 9, I think.
I don't even think I did 9. I don't even think I did 9. So I had to golf because my best friend and I, we were swimmers.
Okay.
And so in high school, my best friend, Brooklyn, we were all swimmers. My mom was our coach at the time. And we made it to state. Like, our relay made it to state. And it's super hard in swimming, like women's swimming, especially getting to state. And so when my relay made it to state, we were celebrating, and we went to one of the other swimmers that didn't make it on that relay. We went to her house after regionals, after we just qualified, and we're having a fire. And nobody's of age. I'm maybe, a sophomore, junior in high school. But you know what, high school, you just got to be smart with what you do mm-hmm. and what is shown. And one of my friends' older boyfriend, he was 21 or maybe 22. He had alcohol in him. He had like a case of Michelob Ultra.
But he was of age.
And he was of age. It gets fucked. I go inside and actually, no, all of us go inside for a little bit. And one of my other friends that didn't make it on the relay was like, hey, hold up this can for streaks, like Snapchat streaks.
Yeah.
So Brooklyn and I hold up an unopened can of Michelob. And we even tilt it so you can't see that it's not opened. And she puts it out for streaks. Well, one of the other girls on our swim team saw it, like screenshotted it, or I must have posted it on my spam. Like, what was wrong with me? Why would I even do that?
But you were thinking it's not opened.
Yeah, that's really what I was thinking. And in high school, like spam accounts on Instagram, like Finsta's Instagram, those were a big deal.
They were a thing.
Everybody was putting all their personal tea on that. And so I was like, shit, I'm going to look cool. I just qualified for state. Long story short, one of the girls screenshotted it, turned it into the school. Brooklyn and I got in a shit ton of trouble, could not swim at state that year. My mom was the coach, so of course the daughter's coach is, you know, an alcoholic that gets away with everything.
They're going to crack down on you the absolute hardest.
Oh, and the person that did crack down on me the hardest was my mom.
Right, yeah.
And a lot of people, like, she gets what she wants. She only made it to state because she's the daughter's coach. No, I made it to state because I'm faster than you. You were eating my bubbles. It's not the other way around. And that's basically how it went. I had to play golf because I didn't want to miss out for the next year of swim. And I'm pretty sure I qualified for state, and I swam senior state swim for...
Dang.
That's how I finished it.
What event did you do?
I was a butterflyer.
Okay.
100 fly. That was my main stroke. And then in the relay, of course, butterfly.
Dang. Shoulder mobility.
Oh my gosh, yes. I had a lot of muscle on me. I did. And then I stopped swimming. I was afraid if I wasn't in sports that I'd get fat. And so I was so scared to eat leaving high school. And so I don't know. I always had the mindset of I got to be active. I got to be fit. I got to stay healthy. Got to eat good, all that. And I was just so scared to eat food. Like living on my own, I didn't like it. I don't know. I didn't take care of myself. And I'm glad I'm seeing that now. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard. I think everyone kind of goes through that mindset. I know my sister went through that as well, being a cross-country runner. She was a state cross-country runner. So she had the whole, like, I need to be muscly. I need to be fit. Even I went through that in college. I wasn't an athlete, like, hardcore. I was a dancer for 15 years. So I did that. I taught dance. So that was, like, my main sport.
I danced.
Did you?
Yeah.
What kind?
I quit when I couldn't do the splits.
Okay. Like, kick line, jazz?
Jazz, tap.
Okay.
Point, like. Yeah. I don't know, something like that.
Gotcha. So I was kick line.
Okay.
So I did that for years. And then I was a golfer. So those were my two big things. Neither one, like, you need to be, like, overly in shape for. I mean, you need to be in pretty decent shape. But I got to college and I realized, oh, I'm not doing anything. And I am in radio school. So I am literally, like, as you see me now, sitting, talking to a microphone. This was my college classes. So, like, no mobility. It wasn't doing crap. And I'm like, well, I'm just going to stop eating.
Right.
We're just going to call it on that. I was living off of a holiday cheeseburger a day.
A holiday cheeseburger.
Like, you know, those, like, cheeseburgers at the holiday gas station?
Yes. Okay.
One of those a day. because one, you're a college kid, you're broke. And I was going to a school that didn't have like a, there wasn't even dorms. Like I was living in an apartment with random strangers that were going to a culinary school.
Oh my.
My college experience was wild.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, I was living off of like a gas station cheeseburger and a Monster energy drink every day.
Amen.
And working like four jobs. So it's like, you don't take care of yourself. But then when
that's
I find
not a priority, like that's not a priority to you, your career is.
Right. And one of my jobs was working at a Lifetime Fitness. So I'd get off work and then I'd hop on an elliptical for an hour and a half and you're running on absolutely nothing.
Right.
And like, I look back on pictures of myself. I'm like, who is that girl? And now I understand why every time I would go home, my dad would look at me and go, are you eating? Can I make you something? Would you like some food? And like, then I'm like, oh, it's just my dad. He's a feeder. It is what it is. No, I looked emaciated.
I feel that.
It was like, what were you doing, girl?
Oh, yeah.
But then, like, you get your life figured out. You figure out what path you're going to take. It doesn't have to be the same when you stay on the rest of your life. But you get on a decent path. And, yeah, I'm bigger than I was then. But that doesn't matter because I'm healthy now.
You are.
I'm healthy.
And you're thriving.
I'm taking care of myself. I wake up and I'm happy. Like, those are the things that truly matter.
And you were that self-aware to realize, like, that was the situation you were in. And now you're realizing, like, you know, it's good. It's fine. Yeah. You're healthy. That's all that matters.
Yeah. Happy, healthy.
Yeah.
Got a husband and a dog that love me. Life's good.
Love it. So what kind of dog do you have?
I have a Shih Tzu.
A Shih Tzu.
His name is Norman.
Norman.
He was a rescue dog. Aww. He came into the radio studio I was working at one morning. I popped in to say good morning to my boss, who's actually the house we're in right now. Mm-hmm. And they had the Humane Society come in because a dog had been dropped off the night before. They didn't know anything about it. Came in with another Shih Tzu too. Apparently the previous owner had dementia. Didn't even know that they had a dog, much less two of them.
Oh my God.
So yeah, I came in and they had my little guy and they're going, he needs a home. And I scooped him up in my arms and I said, he's coming home with me.
Oh.
Let me know what you need for a deposit. The best part was my husband wasn't even awake at that hour of the day. So I texted him like, when you wake up, just know that we have a dog now. You can meet him before I bring him home, but he's coming home with us.
I love that though, that he was at the station that you were working at and just showed up.
Yeah.
It's kind of fate.
I'm a firm believer that dogs find the right humans for them.
Dementia, though. The old owner had dementia.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But he's my sweet Normie Jay.
I love that.
And yeah, he inspired my dog bandana line. I make dog bandanas.
Yes. Okay, hold on.
I love playing dress up with him. He doesn't necessarily love it, but I make dog bandanas. And a dollar from everyone I sell, I donate to an animal rescue. And they're all totally reversible. They can either be a solid color or a pattern. And the camo blaze orange are a big hit.
I love this. I seen that stack and I'm like, yes, it's time to play dress up with the boys again.
Well, and especially with you guys being out shed hunting and you do pheasants and stuff too, right? Yeah. So the blaze orange is great.
Oh, yeah. Throw one on one of our, well, Quinn, we can throw one of these on her. That would be perfect. Always shop small. Support your local businesses.
Yeah, it's fun. I do a lot of really random things.
Let's get into that. How many different businesses do you have? You were just saying your tax lady like hates you.
She hates and loves me at the same time. Her name is Megan. She lives in South Dakota. She is an angel on this planet, and I love her more than anything in the world, and I've never actually met her in person. But no, yes, I do. The dog bandanas is... that's been around for 4 years now. The podcast production business, I work with 7 different clients now.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you offer, through podcasting, you have 7 podcasting clients.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about your packages, your different packages that you have for clients in case someone is listening and would be interested.
Yeah. So I do audio only, which is just cranking out an episode of audio. I get it uploaded to places like Spotify and Amazon and Apple Podcasts, all that. And then there's also a package that I do that is audio and then social media elements to help promote the podcast. So like static posts, Instagram reels, which is huge for podcasts. If you have a podcast without Instagram reels, you're kind of missing the mark, in my opinion.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And then also a package that has a fully produced YouTube version, which you might be even watching right now.
That's the one I have.
Yeah.
I was like, if I'm doing this, we're doing this.
Yeah. So. You might as well go all in on this kind of thing. I work with a lot of business owners that use podcasts for marketing, which is a great way to do your marketing.
So smart.
It's so authentic.
It is so smart.
Because, I mean, you're talking about things that you literally do for a living. One of my clients owns a baby store in St. Cloud. It's called Babies on Broadway. The podcast is called Rolling in the Deep because her name is Adele.
That's the podcast. I've seen the headline. I yep. loved the Rolling in the Deep.
Yeah. So she just talks about like parenting and motherhood and things in her store that drive her crazy, like rotating car seats. And it's just really fun because they can naturally talk about what interests them, but at the same time, it's still kind of promoting their business.
Oh, yeah.
Another one of my clients is Liz Fidler. She is a flower farmer.
Mm-hmm.
And she is actually my first client. And fun story about her, she was actually my doctor.
Really?
Yeah. So I, back to golf, avid golfer. I was also doing CrossFit at the same time. So I'd go and golf 9 holes, walk it, and then I'd go to an intense like CrossFit class.
Damn.
I wrecked my back doing that one summer.
Oh, no.
The physical therapist said I bruised my nerves. Don't know what that means.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't even know you could do that.
I didn't either. But apparently that's what I did. But yeah, I went to go see a doctor to get a referral for a physical therapist. And that doctor was Liz. And we just hit it off right away because she's like, it's okay to have a bush light every now and then. I'm like, my people, well, I love you.
That's what Abby said here with, we've got Austin here. He's in the middle of the couch and she's like, hey, we've got some beer if you need a little encouragement for this podcast. So that's just, I love that. It's what, noon?
It's noon 15.
And that's not weird. That's not weird at all.
No, I'm from central Minnesota.
Who's the longest person you've had on your podcast? Like who have you been, who's your first?
Liz was my first.
Liz was your first.
So I had Liz on my own podcast that I started last year. It's called The Small Town Tourist.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about like random small towns because it's where I'm from. It's what I love. So yeah, I had Liz on my podcast to tell her story because she has a really interesting story. Not only was she a doctor and a flower farmer, she lived on her husband's century farm. So it had been in the family for 5 generations. Her daughters are the 6th generation to be on that same plot of land.
Wow.
But her husband, Josh, unexpectedly died of a heart attack.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Like clean bill of health. Just kind of happened out of nowhere, but she has ran this farm in his honor for 3 years now, and she just has this insane, inspiring story. And so I wanted to have her on the podcast to talk about that, and we did. And at the end of it, we killed the mics, we sat there in silence and looked at each other, and she's like, so I need to start a podcast. And I'm like, yeah,
yes,
you do. And her podcast has now turned into 3 podcasts. So she has
3 podcasts?
She has 3 podcasts.
Not 3 episodes, 3 podcasts.
3 podcasts that come out in a given week.
Oh my.
So she does her Sunny Mary Meadow one, which is all about flower farming, running a flower farming business. She also does one called Bloom and Grow, which is all about dealing with grief and grief resources and how to help people who are grieving.
I love that.
So inspiring. And yeah. Then she also does a premium episode on getting her book published. So she's writing a memoir about what she's gone through with grief and the flower farm and all that sort of stuff. And so that premium one is for her special subscribers, her diehard fans. And it's all about the process of going through publishing.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So what?
She's a busy bee.
Yeah. I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah.
What kind of flowers? Like, what's the process even look like?
For flower farming?
Yeah.
I've learned so much in the past year.
So it's not just one flower. It's several different flowers.
Several. So right now she is growing tulips and ranunculus, which I just learned what a ranunculus was last year.
Kind of sounds ridiculous.
They're ridiculously gorgeous.
Are they?
They look like, if I had to compare them to something, like if you had to draw a marshmallow as a flower. They're like floofy.
Really?
Yeah. They're really pretty.
Hmm.
So she's doing that right now. And then in the summer, she'll do like zinnias and cosmos and snapdragons. And her big thing is dahlias. She grows gorgeous dahlias, which are those really big ones. So.
Wow.
Yeah. It's really cool because I knew nothing about flowers. I'm a cactus girl.
I have a cactus tattoo.
See?
I love cactus.
Cactus girls get it.
Yeah.
So I can't grow anything other than cacti.
Yep.
So I've learned so much about flower farming, and it's really cool because Liz has introduced me to some other really amazing people and podcast clients. Like, I have a cattle rancher in South Dakota, so now I'm up to date on what's going on with cattle ranching.
Right.
I'm not a mom, but I know so much more about motherhood because of Adele with Rolling in the Deep. My cousin does a podcast too that I help her with, and that's all about adopting and like being an advocate for the adoption space.
That's pretty cool. Like, you have all these clients, but you're also consuming all the information that they're talking about. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And yours is great too, because I know what it's like to be outdoors in Minnesota, whitetail hunting and that sort of stuff. But like your trips to Africa or the Virgin Islands, mm-hmm. like those are things that I've never done, but I get to hear all about it and learn about it.
Yeah. It's so much fun, man. We just try to have fun. You know, you only live once. So make the time that you have down here on Earth worth it.
I love that.
And you just go with the flow.
Yeah. Your Africa trips. Oh my gosh. Like when you guys were there, was it May
last year?
I remember being at the lake that morning, waking up and like scrolling through Instagram, and me and my dad are sitting there having coffee, and he's the other big hunter. It's me and him doing all of our wacky stuff. And I'm like, look at this girl and look at what she's like hunting in Africa. And he's like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. Like, Ab, we got to do that. Like,
you should.
Like, figure out how we can do this. And I'm like, I don't know, man.
You should. It is honestly way cheaper to go to Africa and shoot exotics there than you will find any place, like high fence, any place in the United States.
Really?
It's way cheaper. And you can pick your packages. So if you can at least get your flight, which is about $1,000, and then you have, you know, lodging, which is maybe like $800.
Oh, that's really not that bad.
We only spent my first year, $4,900 total for 2 weeks in Africa.
That's wild.
2 weeks in Africa.
You'd spend that for a week in Mexico.
Three animals. So that was like the total for my ticket. That was, okay, I should probably say that was probably just for the animals. Austin, would you say that $4,900 was just for the animals, or was it all included? I believe it was everything.
Wow.
And depending on what you shoot, like you can make it as expensive as you want. So if you, you know, choose an expensive animal, it's going to be more. But you can get away with, you know, shooting a warthog, an impala for, it's weird to say, it's just how it is, for less money. And I don't want to base them off a dollar amount, but like impalas, warthogs, all
some people, it comes down to that dollar amount.
It does. Yeah. You can go over there, shoot a warthog, impala. How much are warthogs? Like $300-$500? And then you get up to like a blue wildebeest, and they're big and beefy, and they got like the big spiral horns that come out there. They're like $1,500. It's not that bad.
That's really not that bad.
It's not that bad. I think a black buck, if you were to shoot a black buck on an exotic farm in, you know, the United States, it would be like $4,000 just for that black buck.
That's wild.
Yeah. A lot of people see these trips and think that it's not something that can fit with them. But if you have the time and you've got spare change that you've been saving up, it is so achievable.
Well, and it's one of those things where it'd probably be like once in a lifetime for something like me and my dad.
Oh, yeah.
So like,
and if you don't bow hunt, so we went to one of the only places in South Africa that allows you to bow hunt these animals. Usually it's all rifle.
Really?
So we made sure that we were bow hunting.
Yeah.
And the place that we went to, they had a crossbow. So, you know, do you have a bow?
Yeah.
Do you bow hunt?
Yeah. I just got into bow hunting like 2 years ago.
Did you really? Okay.
Yeah.
What do you shoot?
I have a diamond.
Diamond.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All good bows.
Mm-hmm.
And if you didn't have a bow, they would have given you a crossbow to use in Africa.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. That's, so it's awesome.
I should really like buckle down and look into that.
You should. Well, if we ever go again, if we ever go to Africa again, nobody will know about it because of my family's safety and my safety.
You got to keep that in mind. You're a public figure.
Yeah.
You need to be so careful about what you do.
Yep. So if we do go back to Africa, no one's going to know about it.
So yeah, bow hunting.
Mm-hmm.
I just got into it a couple years ago. I haven't actually been. So I'm a crazy workaholic. But this year, my goal is to be full-time in my business before bow season gets here in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Starts September 14th. Circled on my calendar, big stars by it. Nothing can happen that weekend except for bow hunting.
Love it.
So yeah, my goal is to spend a lot more time in the woods because I haven't even drawn back on anything because I sit out there the 4 or 5 hours I can get in a given month during bow season. And yeah, just nothing. The big bow hunting trip that we do, I say every year, but it's been 2 years that I've been doing this now. But my dad's been doing it for 30 odd years. There's a place called Camp Ripley in central Minnesota. It is a National Guard Army base, and they do a special drawing to get a weekend pass to go hunting there, bow hunting. Really? And thousands upon thousands of bow hunters show up. And the pass.
How big is this place?
Huge.
Okay.
Huge.
Huge.
Like, it's got its own zip code. Huge.
Wow.
Acres and acres and acres and acres. So you put in like middle August, apply for it, and then hope that you get drawn. And the past couple years, luckily enough, my dad and my brother-in-law and I have all gotten drawn, so we can all go together.
Nice.
Yeah. So the first year we went, we leave at like 2 a.m. from my parents' house, which is about 40 minutes from this place. You can camp there too, but we just haven't had the time to do that the past couple years. But yeah, we leave at 2 a.m. You go get in line. You sleep in the truck until they blow the big like army horn, the do 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 do, like that army horn that you see in cartoons.
Yeah.
That blows at like 5 or 6 a.m.
And this is so interesting. I've never heard anything like this before.
So then you get in line, you go through, they check your papers, they send you off, and there's areas that you can't like cross. They're barricaded off and all that. But you basically just go put your stand up in the woods and hope that you're not next to some stranger.
Really?
If you're next to someone, they will flash their light at you. I was a little pissed off this year. Like 300 yards away across a swamp from me, I'm putting up my stand and I get up there and this guy starts like flashing his headlamp at me. I'm like, dude.
Seriously?
I'm way too far away from you. Me being here is not a nuisance to you at all.
Right.
But yeah, you set up your stand and then, yeah, you just hunt.
So I have so many questions. How many people can draw? Is it like each year?
Mm-hmm. You can apply every year.
How many people do they allow each year to hunt on it?
Oh, God. It's thousands. It's a lot of people.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's probably like a city. It's its own community.
Mm-hmm. Like, you've been to a country festival, right?
Yeah.
Picture that for campers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That is so interesting.
It's so cool. And This past year, I felt so bad for my brother-in-law. He gets up in a tree, and we call him Inspector Gadget because he brings a million trillion things with him out into the woods. He's got strapped himself all over, and he goes like up 30 feet in a tree. Like, he just monkey mans it up there.
Love it.
And so he gets up there, he gets all set up, and like pretty much right at daylight, beautiful 10 pointer comes out. And he does not shoot just anything. He grew up pretty much on a sanctuary. His dad had built like a deer sanctuary in his backyard, essentially. So he doesn't shoot just anything. Mm-hmm. So he pulls back on this 10 pointer and his bow breaks. Whisker biscuit just shatters.
No way.
Yes.
His whisker biscuit shattered?
Yeah. I don't know how it happened, why it happened, but it just...
Yeah, was it cold?
It was chilly. It wasn't like cold. Like, we get cold in Minnesota. This was Halloween weekend, so it wasn't like below zero.
Right.
It was chilly, but not chilly enough to break.
Does your bow have a whisker biscuit on it too?
Yeah.
Do you prefer whisker biscuit?
I do.
I've never... How come?
I don't know. I just think it's easy.
Easier?
Yeah. It's simple.
Yeah.
Just lock it in. You're good to go.
Yeah. I don't know. We just use the basic whatever you put your
arrows a little notch thing.
Yeah. I think the first bow, craze, it did have a whisker biscuit on it, but did I say that right? Okay. I thought I stumbled my words real quick. I'm like, did I just say muffin or something?
Whisker muffin.
Whisker muffin biscuit, you know. We just switched it off of the old setup.
It's definitely a preference thing.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Mine came with one, and my dad has always used one, too. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just like what you know.
Yep. Same thing with releases. Like, I actually have the release I still use and hunt with today is tattooed on me. It's like my release and how it sits, like, in my hand or whatever, and I've got it tattooed right here.
Okay.
It is, like, such a cheap release, and everybody makes fun of me for it, but I don't know. I've shot all my animals with it, and it hasn't caused me any problems since, so that's something that I hold on.
If it works.
Right. They're like, well, you're this big old name brand, you know, hunter, and she's got like a $15, $20 release. And so what?
What's and your point?
What is your point? It bothers you that much. It doesn't bother me. I'm still shooting animals, are you?
Yeah, exactly. My release came from Craigslist.
Did it?
Okay. So when I wanted to get into bow hunting, I've wanted to do it for a long time, but workaholic, don't have time for it. And finally, I'm like, I'm doing it. I'm just going to do it. And so my dad found an entire, like, some guy was offloading all of his bow hunting gear on Craigslist. $150 for a bow, case, 30 arrows, block target, release,
Oh my god.
Like
gosh.
Every little thing. So I obviously I'm going to go meet this stranger off Craigslist.
Mm, I mean, yeah.
I brought my friends with. It was fine. But yeah, great guy. Sold me all this stuff. I couldn't pull Bo back to save my life. Like these little noodle arms couldn't do it.
So, gotcha.
But I mean, I got all the parts and pieces and my dad really liked the bow. So it really worked out. But yeah, my release came in there and it's like, it works great.
Right. How much weight do you pull back? Or do you not know?
Not a lot.
Not a lot. Hey, that's okay. I don't either.
I am wimpy.
I mean, you really don't even, depending on what bow and what your setup looks like, you don't need to pull a ton of weight back to, if you've got a good broadhead and everything on your setup is good, you're golden.
Yeah. I mean, I'm as accurate as I think I need to be. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. It's always practice, practice, practice. I always forget, like summertime rolls around. I'm like not thinking about hunting or bow hunting. I'm just thinking about the lake and
exactly, you know, bass fishing,
having fun and fishing. So yeah, we try to shoot when we can when it's not hunting season.
Do you get the bruises, like the forearm bruises?
I do not.
Oh my gosh,
do you?
Bless your soul. Yes, every year the first time I take my bow out, I always forget about it and I'll run a couple through and then all of a sudden the bow just like hits the forearm.
What kind of bow do you have?
The diamond. I don't even remember. It's been a couple years now.
Is it set up for women?
Yeah.
Like it's a woman's bow? Uh-huh. Yep. Do you happen to know the draw length of it?
I wouldn't, no.
And would you say it's like, does it fit you well?
Have it fits great. Fitted? Yeah.
Okay. But that's really weird.
I think I just like have like hypermobile elbows.
That could be.
Because my sister gets it too.
Oh, gotcha.
So it's probably like a hereditary, like our elbows just go the wrong way.
Yeah. We do have a friend though that they would always get that. I shot traps, so whenever I had my gun, I would shoot like sometimes it was, you know, 200 shells each week. It's rough.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody thought I did cocaine because I had to put baby powder on my face constantly. I had red and blue bruises all the time. Ugh. Until I upgraded my gun to a Remington 1100. It was a gun that my trap coach had, and I'm like, I really like this gun. I shot a 20 gauge. It was a over under. I say it opposite. And then I shot the 12 gauge that my coach had. And I'm like, I really like this bow. I wake up from, you know, it's Christmas morning. My parents surprised me with that gun.
Oh.
And I'm like, that is so sweet.
That is so sweet.
Even for them to know that, I don't know, it just fit me well. And I really liked it. Like, it's my baby.
Yeah.
I love that gun.
They knew what you wanted. Oh, and yeah. That's awesome.
But it's got an adjustable, the butt of the gun's got an adjustable part to it. So whenever, it's a competition gun. So it, I mean, it's so heavy. Oh my God, that gun is so, I don't know how I used to shoot it. But it's got an adjustable butt to it. And I took it over to my trap coach's house one night and had him like sit down with me and really adjust how I wanted it, because I couldn't shoot state with the way, like I was just shooting, I was just pulling the trigger. Like,
Hoping for the best.
Yeah, it was like 50 shell or 50 round. I shot once, twice, and then it was like the round of 75. I was just shooting to shoot. Like, I feel like I wasted my time, everybody's time, my mom's time, the team's time.
Right, yeah, it's a team sport.
Yeah.
Which is so I graduated in 2014 from high school.
Okay.
Like 2 years after I left, they started a trap team at my school. No, I'm like, oh, so close. Because I would have been all over that kind of thing.
So is it a part of the school or is it just...
It's the school team.
Okay. We don't have... I don't think anywhere near me has like the trap teams aren't through the school. I think it's probably different through what school you look at. But ours was not. Okay. Like they would not allow it.
Really?
Nope. Could not allow it at all. It was something separate that, you know, the high school kids could do.
Okay.
And when I left, I'm pretty sure they started up middle school.
Mm.
I was kind of salty about that. That would have been like 6-7 years of shooting.
All that practice. Oh my gosh.
I know.
Oh.
I think they need to do, each school team, they need to do an adult or like some kind of competitive something where older people who used to shoot can come back and shoot.
Like an alumni team kind of thing.
Alumni shoot.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Gosh, I need to add more hours to the day because I'd be so in.
Okay. I'm so glad we did this. And I just want to say thank you for getting me on the podcast, you know, kick. I love it. It's been a huge, you know, learning curve. And I text Abby all the time. I'm like, okay, I forgot my camera battery today. I brought everything for my setup just in case. And There's just always something that's going wrong and everything has to be right. So just having Abby on the other side of the phone and knowing she's not going to make fun of me or get mad at me. She's very patient and she's very good at what she does.
Well, I just got to say that I am so proud of you. We are just at the beginning of this journey and out the gate, you're a natural.
You
are a natural at this. And yes, there is a learning curve, but there's a learning curve with everything you want to do in life. And you've been handling it like a champ. You are so great about responding to things and adjusting and pivoting. And I'm beyond proud of you. And I'm so happy that we get to work together.
Thank you. That's very sweet. All right. Well, I think that's where we'll leave it for episode 6. So I'm glad you guys tuned in, and don't forget to do everything that everybody tells you at the end of the video, like, subscribe, drop a comment, leave a review, yada yada. Okay, we'll see you guys.